Just a few. It is Thanksgiving Eve, and it is a time that we celebrate and we give thanks, as the pilgrims did, for what God has done. And I looked in Merriam-Webster's Collegiate Dictionary, and here's what it says about Thanksgiving Day. Thanksgiving Day is a day appointed for giving thanks for divine goodness, as the fourth Thursday in November is observed as a legal holiday in the United States, the second Monday in October is observed as a legal holiday in Canada. So, you know, we set aside tomorrow, as they did many years ago, to be thankful for what God has done. But I want us to think tonight of not thinking of thankfulness as a day. But I want us to think tonight of thankfulness as a way of living. And I think if we learn to be thankful as a way of living, and we don't reserve it just for a day, it can have a dramatic change in our life. So I want you to notice what the Bible says about giving thanks. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I want to begin reading verse 16. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So why you notice here, it says, give thanks in all circumstances. The word thanks that we see here is a word that simply means to express gratitude. To express gratitude. So Paul here, God writing through Paul, says, look, God's will, God's desire is that in all circumstances we express gratitude. And although it is not specifically stated here, clearly the thought of this passage and the whole tenor of Scripture is that we are expressing gratitude to God in all circumstances. No exceptions. As I heard many years ago, and as I have stolen the quote, all means all, and that's all means. So we are to give thanks in all the circumstances we find ourselves in life. And certainly life isn't always the greatest. My secret sister gave me a T-shirt. So I thought it's orange, and it's bright, and it's Thanksgiving, and it says, sin stinks. So, you know, life sometimes just sin makes life stink. But the Bible says that what God desires for us is that in every circumstance we find ourselves, we give thanks. In Colossians chapter 3, don't turn there, in verse 15 it says this, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Hebrews 12:28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful. Ephesians 5:20, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, Joseph is speaking and he's talking to his brothers who he had been sold into slavery, thrown in a well, told to his father that he had been killed, then sold into slavery again, then thrown into jail and forgotten in jail and left in jail. And he says to his brothers this, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. Romans chapter 1 talks about this world, and it basically says this. It says that God, through creation, has basically shouted out that he exists and some things that are true of his character. And he has used creation to let mankind know that he's there. And what did we do? Well, the Bible says mankind as a whole turned away from God and failed to give thanks. So that the characteristic of those who reject God is that they do not and they are unwilling to give thanks, express gratitude to God. In fact, tomorrow will come and go. Thanksgiving will come and go. And people generally will be thankful, although some may not. But certainly the vast majority of people, even though they are thankful, will not express gratitude to God. And that's the problem. That the average person lives their life and they fail to express gratitude to God. So God says here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, look, God's desire for the Christian, God's desire for everyone, but certainly people don't listen. They've rejected it. So certainly Christians ought to live. God's desire for us is to continually, in all circumstances, express gratitude to him. Now, I know that when I say that sometimes we think that that's an impossibility, that that is not a reality, that expressing gratitude to God in all circumstances we find ourselves in life just isn't being realistic. So what I'd like to do is just take a few moments and give you some examples of people who have expressed gratitude to God in various circumstances that we might not think is possible. Earlier this year, I had a cousin die, and within a very short time, his father, my uncle, also passed away. And I remember being at the funeral and just sitting there thinking how difficult it had to be for my aunt and my cousins to get through all that. And I think of Edie tonight as she's recovering from surgery and having her aunt die, and then within a month having her uncle die. And she was telling me this afternoon that she had driven her mother up when her aunt died, and they live in New York, and now having had her surgery, not being able to walk, certainly not being able to drive, how difficult it is for her knowing that she's not going to be able to help her mother to be able to get to the funeral, and just the family as they deal with that. And I wrote my thoughts down the other day, but it again reminds me of Job. And I think sometimes we think about Job so often, we kind of don't think of him as being real. But I want you to think for a moment. Really think about this. Think how in a very short time, messengers come to your home and one after another tell you that a child has died, that a child has died, that a child has died, that all of your children have died. And on top of that, you've lost your livelihood and many of your friends. Now, Job was just an everyday real guy, and he had to deal with that. And I just imagine that it was unimaginable to deal with the fact that all of your kids have died, you've lost your business, you've lost many of your friends, and it just kind of happened one after another. And in the midst of all that, Job said this, "Naked I have come from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gives and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. Hurting beyond imagination, yet he's still praising God. Now, I've had to go through circumstances like that with people I know, and I've had to sit with them as they've dealt with issues like that. And I've been near people in those situations, and I found a number of occasions where, because of things like that, they've turned to hating God. In the midst of an unimaginable situation, Job turns to praising God. And right in the middle of all of it. There's another example. Turn with me in your Bible to Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. Verse 33. Apostle Paul is taken as a prisoner on his way to Rome. And when we pick up the story in verse 33 of their traveling by sea, it says, just before dawn, Paul urged them all to eat. For the last 14 days, he said, you have been in constant suspense and have gone without food. You haven't eaten anything. So now, here's our setting. 14 days at sea. Tom, would you turn all these other microphones off? They are hissing at me. Are they off? Something's hissing at me. It's you? You're hissing at me? It's Eileen. 14 days at sea. No food. I would imagine that at least some of these people, maybe not the sailors, but at least some of them are doing what I did when I went on a fishing trip. They are leaving their stomach all over that ship. And I only did it for a day, along with many others that day. Can you imagine now, 14 days, you are going through sailing, and the storm that they're in was called a northeaster. It was a really, really, really bad storm. At any moment, they could have died. I have been having a little fun with Tommy's girlfriend, Karen. I like to harass her. But we were talking about, she's from California. So the coldest it gets where she lives, did you say, is like the low 50s? And so I invited her back for Christmas. Because, you know, she has to be here when we have a couple feet of snow and it's below zero. Think of the last time you were in a snowstorm. And you were going downhill and you lost control. And your car's swerving all over the place. And you're just kind of all tense thinking you're going to hit something. 14 days, they're going through that kind of an event where at any moment the ship could have turned over and they were all dead. Horrible, horrible conditions. Paul turns to the guys and says, look, you haven't eaten. No food. Verse 34, now I urge you to take some food. You need it to survive. Not one of you is going to lose a single hair from his head. After he said this, he took some bread, and notice these words, and he gave thanks to God in front of them all. 14 days of miserable sailing, a horrendous storm, when you could have sank at any time. What does Paul do? He says, hey guys, let's eat. And by the way, before we eat, let's give thanks. We're going to give thanks in the middle of the storm. Now, some of you know the story. We know by the time Paul got here, there were a couple things Paul knew. He knew that if they listened to him, none of them were going to die. Good thing, right? But he also knew the ship was going to sink. God does not tell him he would escape, that the ship would do well. God tells him the ship will sink. What does Paul do? He gathers the guys together, says, let's eat, and let's give thanks. You know, our hope usually is when we're going through difficult circumstances that there will be light at the end of the tunnel. Our hope is that somehow when we're going through difficult circumstances, we're going to avoid the worst of them. Paul knew that he was going to go through the worst of it. And even though they weren't going to die, ship was going down. But he gathers all the guys together, they pray, and he gives thanks. Example number 3. Turn with me in your Bible to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. Daniel has risen to a very high place within the government. And when we get to Daniel chapter 6, Daniel is 82 years old. So he's 2 years older than my father. And he has enemies within the government. They don't like Daniel. They want to harm Daniel. They want to get rid of Daniel. They just want to do anything they can to get Daniel in trouble. So they trick the king into making a law that if anyone prays to God, anyone prays anyone other than the king, they would be thrown in the lion's den. People in that day had a nice little thing they would do to their enemies. They would take them, they would throw them in where lions were, and they would watch the lions eat them. So in verse 10 of Daniel 6, it says, now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the window opened toward Jerusalem. 3 times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to God just as he had done before. So watch what's happening. Daniel knows that if he prays, he's going to be thrown in the lion's den. But he does just as he had done before, and knowing that he's going to be thrown in the lion's den, what does he do? He gets down on his knees, and praying, he gives thanks. Just like Paul, similar circumstance, he knows he's going to face the worst. And at this point, he does not know that he would live through the lion's den. It's very possible he's going to be eaten. I was watching an animal show the other night, and this guy was over in Africa. And he came upon a group of lions, and they attacked him. And they began to eat him. Could you imagine what that would be like? I mean, to be out in the middle of nowhere with no chance of survival, and you get attacked by a bunch of lions, and they begin eating you. You know, you think what it must be like for an animal to be eaten to death. Here's this guy being eaten to death. And in his case, a car drives up with the lights on and chases the lions away. And the guy lives. Daniel's about to face that same faith, and he gives thanks. Job's heartache, Paul's shipwreck, Daniel's lion's den, and one more. Turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. King David wanted to bring the Ark of God back to Jerusalem. The Ark is not Noah's Ark. The ark was that piece of furniture that was in the temple of God that represented God's presence. And David got the opportunity to bring the ark back to Jerusalem. And I want you to notice in 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 7. That day David first committed to Asaph and his associates this psalm of thanks to the Lord. So it's a great day. It's a good thing. It's different than the other three. It's really exciting. Something good's really going to happen. What does David do? Verse 8, he gives thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him. Sing praise to him. Tell of all his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Skip down to verse 34. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Cry out, save us, O God, our Savior. Gather us and deliver us from the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name, that we may glory in your praise. Praise be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. You know, not only are we to give thanks in difficult circumstances, but we need to give thanks in very good circumstances. And sometimes when good things happen, we forget to give God thanks. Paul said it is God's will for us to give God thanks, to be thankful, to express gratitude in all the circumstances we find ourselves in life. Now, I think the issue is, how do we do that? How do we learn to be thankful in all circumstances? Let me give you a couple quick thoughts. Because I believe if we can learn to be thankful in all circumstances, it will truly change your life. Number one, recognize that giving thanks is a command of God. God's will, God's command for our life is to be thankful, to give thanks. So what does that say to you and I? It says this. Thankfulness is a choice. You know, whether you are grumpy or whether you are thankful is a choice. You have control over it. We've looked at examples here of people who've gone through very difficult circumstances and people going through very good circumstances. And certainly in our lives, maybe not like some of these people, but we go through some very difficult circumstances. We go through some pretty good circumstances. Now we need to understand how we deal with those circumstances is our choice. You could either be grumpy, miserable, rotten, or you could be thankful. You know, we love to say, you made me this way. You're giving me this attitude. Or, well, yeah, I know I need to be thankful, but that's tough. That's hard. Or, yeah, I wish I was thankful like you, but that's just not me. No, it's your choice. It is our choice. In whatever circumstances we find ourselves, it is our choice to choose whether we're going to be thankful or not. God would not command us to do something that we do not have control over. Certainly, sometimes life can be very difficult and sometimes life can be very good, but how you react to good or bad, whatever happens in your life, is a choice that you have. And that is why God in 1 Thessalonians 5 says, look, my will for your life is to be thankful. Be thankful in all circumstances. So begin with knowing and understanding that that is your choice. No matter what circumstance you find yourself in. Number two, understand that it is God's will for your life. We think God's will is who we're going to marry, maybe, or where we're going to live, or what our occupation is going to be. You know, God's will is that you're thankful in all circumstances. So if you are living your life being miserable, I want you to know you are out of God's will for your life. You are out of God's will for your life. God's will isn't just that we pray. God's will isn't just that we read our Bible. God's will isn't just that we serve God. And, you know, we think of God's will as being, you know, those kind of spiritual things. But God's will is that in all circumstances we find ourselves, that we are expressing gratitude to Him. Now, I don't think that means, you know, God, thank you so much for breaking my leg. You know, I'm just so glad that I'm in searing pain right here. And I'm just so glad I can't stand up. But God's will is that whatever circumstance we find ourselves in, that we do express gratitude to Him. That in all circumstances, not necessarily for all circumstances, because sometimes the for takes time for us to understand what God is doing, but certainly in all circumstances that we are thankful. Thirdly, give thanks each time you pray. Give thanks each time you pray. I say that for this reason. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, it says this, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." So every time we pray, we are supposed to be expressing gratitude to God as we lay our needs and the needs of others before God. So if we are praying all the time, that means then we ought to be expressing gratitude to God all the time. So if you are a prayer, then you are someone who's continually expressing gratitude to God all the time. Fourth, there was an old saying that we were taught by the firemen. At least when I was in school, I remember them teaching us this. If you are way older than me, maybe the phrase wasn't out yet when you were in school. But you know the phrase, stop, drop, and roll. Here's the thought. Stop. Stop grumbling. Stop grumbling. Stop complaining. Stop thinking how miserable your life is. Just stop. You know, if you find yourself complaining and grumbling and just thinking how lousy life is, just stop. And then drop. Drop to your knees and express gratitude to God. You know, you find yourself being miserable, and you think you have good cause to be miserable, just stop and drop to your knees and begin to express gratitude to God. And of course, that brings us to the roll. Stop, drop, roll. Roll around in your mind all the things for which you can give thanks. You know, you're mumbling, you're grumbling, you're being miserable, just stop. Drop on your knees, begin to express gratitude to God, and begin, as that hymn we sang, name them one by one. Just begin in the middle of your circumstances, right then and there, begin to think of all the things, all the reasons why you can be thankful to God. And stop blaming everybody else for being miserable. And begin thanking God, and you know what? Everyone, I don't care who you are, has reason, has cause for something to be thankful to God. I read a story the other day about a lady. We don't know who wrote it. Source is completely unknown. but it's entitled, Forgive Me When I Whine. Here's how it goes. Today on a bus, I saw a lovely maid with golden hair. I envied her. She seemed so gay, and how I wish I were so fair. When suddenly she rose to leave, I saw her hobble down the aisle. She had one foot and wore a crutch. As she passed by, a smile. Oh God, forgive me when I whine. I have 2 feet. And when I stopped to buy some sweets, the lad who served me had such charm. He seemed to radiate good cheer. His manner was so kind and warm. I said, it's nice to deal with you. Such courtesy I seldom find. He turned and said, well, thank you, sir. And when I saw that he was blind, oh, God, forgive me when I whine. I have 2 eyes. Then walking down the street, I saw a child with eyes of blue. He stood and watched the others play. It seemed he knew not what to do. I stopped a moment. Then I said, why don't you join the others, dear? He looked ahead without a word. And then I knew he could not hear. Oh, God, forgive me when I whine. I have 2 ears. With feet to take me where I'd go, with eyes to see the sunset glow, with ears to hear what I would know, I am blessed indeed. Oh God, forgive me when I whine. It is God's will in all circumstances in life that we are thankful, that we express gratitude to Him. God, we need to pray the same prayer. Forgive us when we whine. Let's stand for closing word of prayer.